he would say things like, he never said specifically suicide, but he said those cold words like, man, I don't feel like being here anymore. I can't take that seriously.
Yeah, I don't. Mean, but if you don't know that now, yeah, Rob, this was the first time.
This is, but it's like I said, this was the first time I'd ever
been through something like that.
I had no idea. I didn't know the cold words.
He just said, "What was he so tired of? Just the relationship."
He'd separated from his wife. Mm-hmm. You know, he was living on one side of the country, she was on another, and he was with his she had the kids. She had the kids, and he was trying to get back with him. But they had some relationship problems, things that he'd messed up, and she decided that she didn't want to be with him anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, he committed the most selfish part was committing the suicide. The part that even makes it even worse to me, it was that he was on the phone with her when he did it. You know, he was talking to her, and he said,
Now, you noticed how she called you and told you, or you had
Absolutely. Okay. You know, and we're still great friends, to this. She was at my house for Thanksgiving,
So he picks up the phone to call her to tell her what he's getting ready to do.
Right. And he'd reached the point of no return. And
so if you won't come back to me,
if we can't make this work, I can't be with you, I can't be with my kids, and... He took his life.
Now, I know I've talked to you about this before, not on the airway, but your anger had been with
him
after his passing. You were angry.
Yeah, absolutely. I was angry with him for a long time. And I still have, there's still points. When I look at his daughters, one of them is 20 now. Another one is about to graduate high school. She just got her driver's license. And I think about the little milestones that they make and, prom and kissing areas and stuff like that. And he's not there for him, and he's not there for him. And he left these two little girls alone without a father, without a guidance. And, there's only so much that, I can do. Or even her uncles and stuff like that. Me as a godfather, and not be there every day. We can be there, arm tight, and tell them everything is gonna be all right. But at the end of the day, I'm still not their dad. Yeah. And their dad is really who they want to hear these things from.
Yeah.
So it's just I get upset with them because I just think it was so selfish of them to pull that move.
Whenever I see these kind of situations, man, it's always disheartening to get to the point where you're saying to yourself, what you've did is so bad, I'm willing to kill you and then also take my life too. Sometimes you just got to say, let that person go and live their life. Well, maybe it wasn't meant to be that way. And we hear these kind of stories all the time. The story that Jimbo reported this morning about the lady, this happened right here in the city where this woman is, not meaning to be morbid, people, so please forgive me, but basically she's in her refrigerator.
Yep.
I don't want to go into details.
Inside the refrigerator, yes. Yeah.
And so I can only assume, I don't want to assume the worst, but I am.
Right.
If the father of a child is missing and that child is missing as well and this has happened, all these different things that have happened, in the last 24 hours, when these kind of things happen, you just shake your head. And I went through a similar thing in high school. It was a friend of mine, a guy in love with a girl. Mm-hmm. And the girl, had a great, you could tell this guy's world was surrounded around this little mm-hmm. girl. But you're in high school. But it's hard to tell somebody when you're in high school that this is just school love.
Right.
And it may not be forever because this is all It's all your right now. Mm-hmm. And, the girl broke up with him, was messing with some other little boy, and the boy went home, took a shotgun, put it into the mouth. I don't have to finish the story.
And then the ripple effect of the lives that are left behind.
Oh yeah,
is
mother, father, sister, brother, cousin, uncle.
Yeah, it's tremendous. You may not see it. And this to anybody that's out there thinking about it, you may not see it, but it's going to be some people that's going to miss you. They're going to miss you, and your life matters to them. So, know that your life matters. And like I said, if this is on your mind, something that's, heavy on your heart, there are people that you can talk to that will help you, possibly see that, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah. And we always think the problem is so bad. We all, I'm weird. Anytime something goes on with me, I'm just curious as to what's going to happen the next day, no matter how bad it is, mm-hmm. and how I will pull through. I just have a weird personality like that. So when things are at their worst, I'm just figuring out, okay, how is God going to help me combat this issue that I'm going through? And you know, y'all know me. I'll never tell you about the problems I'm going through. Right. I just figure, who cares about my problems?
Well, there's
somebody
that does.
And probably so. Yeah. But I always figure the big man knows what it is, and somehow he will get you out the situation. But you just have to have that faith and tenacity to work through it. And it get, and I know, and not to minimalize anybody's issues,
right,
because there's people who go through a variety of different issues and things. You know what I'm saying? But I most certainly believe that suicide cannot be the all in, and most certainly somebody has messed over you. So you're saying to yourself, your brain says, if I can't have you, no one can have you. So I'm gonna end your life. And then you, after you see what you did, you're like, oh my God, what'd I just do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I have no reason to live now. And so you end your life. Like, wow, it's just so sad.
We saw that last year with Kansas City, Javon Belcher, the running back, the linebacker, who took his own, he took his own life. And then they left a baby girl behind who was only a couple months old.
Yeah.
And so now you've got this grandma trying to raise this baby. And, you know, like you said, the impact of the lives that are bad.
Somebody say that, you got to be paying attention to them at all times.
Yes,
you're right. You're right.
You
and we don't, you know, you ain't looking for the signs. I had a friend recently said something like that, and I'm kind of like, you got every reason in the world to be alive and living. So let's stop this kind of talk. I haven't heard anything like that again, and I'm happy about that. But I am, you know, you never know if somebody's kind of like using that kind of talk as a
attention grabber.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to tread lightly with the situation, and so you do.
Well, they say most of the time there's more than one attempt is made before it actually
somebody
happens.
Something.
Before they,
I just don't think it ever gets that bad. But I will say this. What I did when this person said this, I actually sent this phone number to him. 1-800-273-8255.
One more time.
That is the National Suicide Prevention Line.
One more time.
I literally sent this to him. 1-800-273-8255. 8255. It's a serious matter, folks. You know, it's just, I know things can get so bad sometimes that you just don't think that there is an answer. Reach out to somebody, talk to somebody first. And the odd thing is for Floyd is that this guy actually did reach out to somebody else, because obviously he was feeling like, I'm about to go there, but could not stop himself. And nothing that Floyd obviously was saying couldn't stop him.
Right.
And here's the thing, too. Somebody needs to check up on Floyd after witnessing something mm-hmm. like that.
Oh, he's going to need.
He may not be right ever again.
He's going to need some therapy.
Like, I mean, literally to the point, like, we may never see this guy fight again.
I mean, you got to think about it. He's, in his head, he may be saying,
it's my fault.
I had the chance, right.
And I could have done more.
I should have done
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely.
I should have done more.
That's why I'm saying this guy, they really need to watch this guy at this point,
because
this could really change the rest of his life.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Seeing somebody commit this, somebody you know, somebody you love, and then he hung out with this girl, so they all know one another. So you see him murder this person and then himself. Floyd, to me, probably won't be right for a long period of time.
Oh,
he's
absolutely.
He's going to need a lot of. If he doesn't box again, I would not be surprised.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll just be honest with you.
Because, like I said, there's going to be an amount of guilt that he's going to carry with himself because, you know, he feel like he could have done something.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, you have to realize that, you know what, this person made a decision that no matter what
but
you
Floyd
say.
Floyd ain't going to hear that right now.
He's not going to hear that right now. You know,
I went through the same thing.
But, you know, and eventually you're going to have to just realize that this person made a decision that was personal to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably really nothing you could have done.
You're right.
To stop it. You know, he may not hear it.
Homeboy saved my life like that one time.
What are you trying to tell us?
Huh?
What are you trying to tell us?
That was a long time ago when I was real young. I was, you know, I was dealing with a whole lot, you know, with, you know, my parents was getting a divorce. I had been through like two bad relationships. And it's like, you know, when you're in a situation where you feel, and I had a lot of hate going on. So it's like when you feel like you've been doing everything right, you know, and doing everything good, and all of this bad stuff started happening to you. So I remember this right about the time Big Mo had just came out with Man, and me and my homeboy had drove to Houston to a release party, and I was like hurt, you know, through this relationship. So, you know, I was smoking, you know, drinking, and I didn't realize when you depressed, smoking make it even worse. So, you know, we was driving back. I was telling my homeboy, I said, man, I'm just tired. I'm tired of, you know, just going through this stuff. You know, I don't even see, you know, I said, I don't even think I'd be missed if I was here. Something about what I said, you know, made him click. He came over my apartment that night, and I had a 357. And apparently he took the bullets out without me knowing. He had gone and left. And I started drinking again, and I just started thinking about all the stuff, you know. This relationship was, like, real bad and stuff, you know. I didn't have no kids or nothing at the time. And all I know is I put that gun up to my head, and I clicked it. And wasn't nothing in it.
Damn.
And then my homeboy walked in right when I clicked it. And he took the gun, and he just sat there and held me. And, like, the next day, I couldn't believe that I almost did that. And I was walking around, and I remember I was in the mall parking lot, and I hadn't been drinking no water. I hadn't eaten in like a week, and I fainted. And when I fainted, I fell onto a rearview window of a car, and it knocked me out in the parking lot, and they took me to the hospital. My mom was out of town. My dad came there. You know, he was like, man, he said, I'm going to have to watch you. And he's like, it's going to be all right, pimp. And he's like, it's going to be all right. You know, people going to miss you. He said, you're going to go through hurt and pain. No, you ain't never dealt with this before. He said, so, you know, and the one thing I can say is that pain, it was just killing me. It was just killing me every day. It's like my mom was out of town. And, you know, the one thing that helped me, I went to my preacher, and he's like, man, I know this sounds crazy. He said, I know a lot of people say, God, man, I was reading Psalms 42. He said, read this 10 times every day. And within a 2-week period, like, all that pain left away. So I was a believer with the power of God. And I said, man, I never, ever try to do nothing like that. And all I can do is thank my homeboy for doing that. Because if he hadn't did that, I probably wouldn't be here right now.
Damn, Q.
So that's why every time I hear somebody say, you know, they don't want to be here, I always try to talk to them.
Yeah.